is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul.
Exactly what we want to do. We've had our day out there mixing with the world, but tonight we just want to come in. We just want to worship Him. He's worthy. Amen. Just lay aside our daily thoughts, activities, whatever we may have been through, and just lay it at His feet tonight. Amen. Well, God bless you. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those joining us online, God bless you. It's really good to have you with us. Just trust you have a wonderful time in His presence. Brother John sent me a song, old hymn, this morning, and I like to sing it. Living by Faith, Jesus Above, key of C. I care not today what the tomorrow may bring, or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. Oh, from all harm saved in His sheltering arms. Eyes obscuring the brightness of life. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. For I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding. Why should
should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? For I'm living by faith in Jesus above, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. Oh, from all harm saved, in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Now our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. For I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm saved,
you are a temple. Know ye not, know ye not, you are a temple. Know ye not, know ye not, you are a temple. You are a temple of the Holy. Sing it again. Oh, know ye not, you are a temple. Know ye not, not, you are a temple. Know ye not, know ye not, you are a temple. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I know. Oh, yes, I know. Yes, I know I am a temple. Oh, yes, I know. Yes, I know I am a temple. Oh, yes, I know. Yes, I know I am a temple. I am a temple of the whole, full of praise. I'm full of praise, full of power and full of glory. Full of praise, full of power and full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. I am a temple of the whole. Are a temple. Know ye not, you are a temple. You are a temple of the whole, full of praise, full of power, full of glory. We're full of praise, full of power, and full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, lift that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Dwell in you. Dwell in you. Well, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Dwell in you. Well, in you, well, it shall quicken your mortal body. Well, Spirit, well, in you, yes, it shall quicken your mortal body. Prayer at this time. I ask Brother Sam, if you would come and open the service up. We have a number of prayer requests we want to take to our Heavenly Father. And I'd post this on the men's WhatsApp, but we want to remember Sister Helen Buckles. I know a lot of you don't know her, but she's a good friend of ours from up in BC, and she's having some serious breathing issues. Doctors have basically said there's nothing they can do. It's going to take a miracle for the Lord to intervene and just touch her lungs, or she probably be on her way home. So we want to just remember her in prayer. I want to remember Mitch and Megan. They're traveling to Baltimore today for Megan's grandfather's funeral. Lift them up in prayer. Brother Tom, he's not with us tonight. He's not feeling well. And I want to continue to remember Brother Sam Pugh in prayer. We'll be with him. Brother Aaron and I were talking in the back. I think he has a procedure coming up, so I'm not too sure about that. But we just want to lift him up in prayer. And Brother Keith, not able to be with us tonight. Remember him not feeling well. And we remember our wife. She broke out in hives the last couple days. And so she finally went to the doctor. And they gave her a shot and gave her some cream. So we don't know what the reaction was, but if you just lift her up, she's itching, really, really itchy. We just want to lift her up in prayer. Lord, we'll just touch her and give her some comfort. So Brother Sam, if you'd come, remember the service in prayer.
I'm going to add one more to that. We have a good friend. Her name is Sister Carol. She's from New York. She had some type of procedure, I don't know the details, some surgery, and then she went home and got major complications. So let's remember her too. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, no greater place to be on a Wednesday night, Lord, than here. Lord, as we pull our chairs, Lord, up to the table, Lord, just to hear from you, Lord. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would just speak to each one of us, Lord, tonight, Father. Lord, that you would just fill our cups, Lord. Lord, till we don't want any more, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Lord, for these prayer requests, Lord. Lord, the sister that Brother Jason was speaking of, Lord, the one that has issues breathing, Lord, I ask you to be with her, Lord, the family. Lord, I ask you to be with Mitch, Lord, and Megan, Lord, as they travel, Lord, for her grandfather's funeral. Lord, just keep them safe on the road. For Brother Tom, Brother Keith, Lord, the ones that are not here. But we know, Lord, that you can go where they're at, Lord, and touch them, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Lord, for good friend of ours in New York, Sister Carol, Lord, I ask you to just be with her, Lord, as Lord, that surgery, Lord, major complications, Lord. Lord, I ask you to be with her and her husband. Lord, that you would just do a miracle, Lord. Lord, in that situation, Father. Lord, you are, Lord, a miracle worker, Lord. You're the ones that everything that happens, Lord, is all because of you. Lord, every healing, Lord, is it's all from you, Lord. Lord, tonight, Lord, I ask you to be with the minister, be with Brother Aaron, Lord, as he brings the word. Lord, just get him out of the way, Lord, that we can just hear from you. Father, once again, thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may have your seats. Just have a quick announcement. Just a reminder of the HBT Men's Campout. It's October 15th through to the 18th. So Wednesday through to Saturday, so we want to prayer that. And if you have any questions, get a hold of Brother Peter Coffey, and he'll do his best to answer them for you. Mm-hmm. Amen. Why don't we sing that little song, EFF, Learning to Lean? I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Oh, learning to lean, I am learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Yes, I am learning to lean. I am learning to lean. I am learning to lean on Jesus. I am learning to lean. I am learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I've ever. I am learning to lean. Yes, I am learning to lean. I am learning to lean on Jesus. Oh, finding more power than I've ever.
I want to live the way He wants me to live.
I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love. Love till there's just no more love, for I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
Sing it again as Brother Aaron comes.
I want to live the way He wants me. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove. I want to live the way. wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's no more love. For I never,
God bless you,
outlove the
Lord.
Amen.
Amen. If we could stand up on our feet. Thank you so much, musicians. Brother Jason has his binder of songs. And I feel like he has so many options. I wish I had a ministerial binder of notes here. All right. If you have a need, you can show by raising your hand. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, raising our hands to you, King of kings and Lord of lords, knowing, Father, that you are the master of all circumstances. We know, Lord God, that the prophet says when we come before a mountain that we cannot go through, all we can do is to stand and to wait for you, and you'll be able to make a way where there is no way. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, because over and over you have been faithful. Over and over, Lord, you have proved yourself to be a living God. You are not, Lord, like the gods of this earth, Father. You are a God that declares yourself. Father, we know that you came in our age and you spoke through the prophet, discerning diseases and many needs that people had in their hearts. Father, we are applying, Lord, the same faith, knowing, oh God, that you are, it is no secret what you can do, what you did for others, you can do for us as well. Lord, we want to take this time to remember Brother Keith, who is not feeling well tonight. Father, we know, God, that sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. We thank you, Father, for we know, Lord God, that he was with us at the men's meeting. And Lord, it's such a miracle, Father, how you have been able to take him, oh God, from day to day. We thank you for all the victories, and we are praying, Lord, that you may touch him, oh God. We want to remember Brother Barry Coffey and his wife. Oh God, we are away tonight. May you just be with them and bless them, give them rest, oh God, and protect them until we see them. Lord, we want to remember Brother Tom, who is not here tonight, not feeling well. We pray that your spirit may touch him, oh God. We rebuke, Father, any infirmity that may be coming in his body. We thank you, Lord, as we remember Brother Samuel Pugh and Brother John Howell, who have procedures that are upcoming. Lord, our desire is that there will be no procedure, that, Lord, you, the great physician, may do the procedure. But, Father, being that you have many ways that you heal, Lord, you have given us good doctors, may you, oh God, just have your way, Father. We commit them into your hands. It is not for us to choose how you will deliver. Our job, Father, is to trust in you, knowing, Father, that you know what is best for each and every one of us. We thank you, Father. If you are not going to do any more thing for us, we will still be able to praise you because you are a faithful God. Help us, Father, this little time that we have to share your word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Peter whilst we have you standing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It's a brother in this church who got us a nice Bible. I really love this Bible. It's a very special gift. I don't remember ever kissing the Bible like the Muslims do until I received this one. If you have it, you can say amen. Amen. All right, the Bible says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God bless you. You may take your seats. This evening, by the grace of God, we want to talk about getting up your loins. And for a subtitle, we want to talk about Jacob's trouble. It's definitely a very simple inspiration this evening, which by the grace of God, we don't anticipate that this will be a long service. I don't think there's anything called big inspiration or small inspiration. I believe that as long as it's the inspiration of the Lord, it has value. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And I want to thank the brothers for organizing the men's meeting. We certainly had a wonderful time. You'll hear more from Reverend Coffey when he comes back on Sunday. I had a lot of interesting pictures to show you, but I didn't want to preempt the pastor, but it was certainly good. And each year we try to have a Subway sandwich contest, and Brother Ben McCaffrey always wins that one. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it was really good, and it was a wonderful ministry in the Word. I really, really enjoyed. I was really, really blessed. I was sitting there just like a sponge, you know, just absorbing all the Word, the wisdom. It was such a wonderful time. And the inspiration tonight came from something that Brother Ed Hammermeister mentioned when he was preaching. And it just really struck me from that time, and the inspiration kept, you know, expanding and growing. And by the grace of the Lord, that's what we want to talk about tonight. And hopefully the young people, the young men were blessed. Did you enjoy the men's meeting? Okay, praise the Lord. All right, so Peter here in the scripture, he's saying, he says, therefore, get up the loins of your mind. Now, we'll come back to that, but I want you to hold that thought, girding up the loins of your mind. And he says, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you. Now, one may ask, how do you gird up the loins of your mind? Does your mind have loins? Definitely not. Amen. We know that the Bible speaks in symbols. Now, if we go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, we might have a better context, right? The Bible, when they were given instructions for the Passover, they were told you must, you know, slay a lamb. There were many things that we can talk about. And a lot of us as ministers, sometimes we focus on what they did and what they did. But sometimes we ignore, you know, how they did it. Because it's one thing to have to apply the word. It's another thing to have the right attitude when you apply that word. Because it's important to God what you do as much as it is important how you do it. So when the Bible says, get up your loins, it's talking about the attitude that you must have. You must have an attitude where you are ready. So here the Bible says that, I took the Amplified Version to better, you know, help our people understand, young people in this congregation. The Bible says, now you are to eat in this manner. Be prepared for a journey with your loins girded, right? And it says, that is with the outer garment tucked into the band, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it quickly. It is the Lord's Passover. Amen. We could spend time on these symbols, but we don't want to do that tonight. So I found a picture on the internet. So this would be how a man would dress in the, you know, Oriental times, right? They would wear these gowns. Now, this would be ideal for what? For walking, right? But if you're going to go on a long journey or if you're going to run, then you need to buckle up in a different way. So that's what the Bible is saying. You must gird up your loins, right? So you would have this robe hanging down. But if you're going to go on a long journey or if you're going to run, then you need to tuck it to your buckle, right? That is what the Bible, you know, means when it says, you know, girding up your loins. And Peter in the New Testament, he still maintains that concept. And he says, gird up the loins of your minds. In other words, we are no longer wearing the robes that the Orientals used to wear, but we must still maintain the same attitude.
Yeah.
Our mind must be girded up. In other words, we must be prepared. Our mind must be ready to leave out of this place.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to understand that, you know, we can look at this in two ways, praise the Lord. Now, there is a readiness of going into the rapture.
And we must have that attitude in everything that we are doing. We must never lose the bigger picture. Because sometimes it's very easy to lose the bigger picture. You know, sometimes when I like to, before I start my day, I love to have my to-do list and, you know, write it down when I go to work and you know, cross it out as I progress through my day, right? Yeah. Because it's very easy to forget the big picture. It's very, very easy to get carried away with the busyness of day-to-day, you know, with, you know, emails. And you sometimes you really forget, okay, what did I exactly, am I supposed to do today? What do I want to achieve, right? So the rapture is sort of like the big picture that we should always have in our minds. And God does not want us to lose that mindset. And this is, you know, as Moses was instructing them, this is the way you must eat the Passover. And the Bible says that it is the Lord's Passover. And I love this because you understand that the Bible, the way the Bible is written, as we mentioned the other time, the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, we do have things that we love. Yes, we have things, we have many ideas. That's great, right? But you must understand that everything in the Bible speaks about Jesus Christ. And this Passover, it's no exception, because the Bible is saying that it is the Lord's Passover. In other words, it's God who is giving us this freedom. If it is God who is giving us this Passover, He has a way that He wants us to approach the Passover. You know, if you read the Bible with the right attitude, you will know that God has a great plan that He has for his people. And this is a great story of Jesus Christ, you know, coming on earth, redeeming His people. And we are part of that story. Now, some people may look at it as, okay, fine, maybe this is just, you know, to do that God wants us to do. There's nothing. What's my stake in this whole thing, right? But if you have the right attitude, you understand that, you know, He has made everything work together for our good. Amen. It may seem like, you know what, I don't have option, I don't have a say in this. But really, if you look at it with the revelation, you will know that what I will decide is not the best. Actually, God knows what is best. Amen. God gave me the nose. He knew how. If I was to choose, I wouldn't know what a nose was supposed to be. But God knew that I needed to have a nose, and He gave me the nose. God knew I had to have a heart. God knew I had to have lungs. God knew everything that I needed to live and to operate upon this earth. So who am I starting today to think that I can know better than God? So really, if you look at the Bible, it's God telling us what to do. But at the end of the day, He knows exactly what is best for us. So we must have this attitude that the big picture is we must have go in the rapture. And we must never lose sight of that. Which unfortunately the modern church has lost sight of that. Sure. Now there are two extremes, right? Now you don't want to go in this other extreme where you become a doomsday cult, right? Where, you know, everything is about the rapture, oh, the Lord is coming until you're paralyzed. We don't want to go into that extreme. That is a very, very dangerous extreme. Yes, the rapture is coming. The prophet says, plant your potatoes as if Christ is coming tomorrow. Even if it's 100 years before He comes, your attitude should be as if Christ is coming tomorrow. Amen. So Brother Branham gives a balance where you are thinking about the coming of the Lord, but you are not going into a doomsday cult where you don't even, you know, you stop doing your retirement accounts, you stop sending kids to school, you know, you tell people to drop out of college, you know, that's a cult. We don't have that in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Where, you know, you build a bunker, you know, you're trying to prepare for the doomsday. That is not the attitude that the prophet taught us. Amen. The prophet, as soon as he finished preaching the seals, he goes back, he says, I'm going to take kids. You know, he would go to Arizona, preach a very wonderful message, and he would say, I have to close early because kids have to go back to school. So life had to continue. He still had to take kids back to school. He mentions in the sermon, who is this Melchizedek, how he'd go to Rebecca's school and watch, you know, the drama. He was able to do that because he was a parent. You know, sometimes we can become so ecclesiastical that we don't want to do the day-to-day life. That is a very, very wrong extreme. You should still, you know, live a life as a man, as a father. Take your son to a ball game if you have to. Take your family to dinner if you have to. Take them to a HBT men's camp out, right? This is me advertising. Men's camp out. You know, buy your wife roses, you know, chocolates, if that's the kind of thing that she loves, right? You can't be so ecclesiastical until the life stops. You still have to live the life. Even if, the prophet says, even if I knew that Christ is coming tomorrow, I would not do anything different. Amen. If Christ is coming tomorrow, I'm not going to go on top of a mountain and say, wow, I'm going to wait for Christ. No, sir. Christ will find me at my post of duty. Amen. Christ will find you at your post of duty. Good. He's going to find some in the field in the post of duty. He's going to find some in bed, you know, relaxing or sleeping. You're going to find some, you know, working. You're going to find some playing. Christ will find you at your post of duty. Amen. And you find many times in the Bible, when Jesus Christ would come, he would come and find somebody at their post of duty. There are situations, yes, where God would call someone and say, come to the mountain, I want to speak to you. Where God would say, but many times when God came to Moses, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law at the backside of the desert. So Christ came to Moses at his post of duty. When Christ came to the prophet, he was fishing, and the word says, "Would you?" He says, "Little fish, I give you your life." The prophet was at his post of duty. Many times, you know, we have this ecclesiastical idea that when you have the Holy Ghost, you know, you live a mysterious life, everything changes. No, sir. Everything changes spiritually, but not literally. Yeah. You'll still be the same Aaron, you know, doing accounting work, right? Going through, peeling through emails and, you know, having meetings. You'll still be doing the same things you were doing. Right. But your attitude, your life, your motives, your desires are changed. Yeah. And that's what God wants us to do. Yeah. But man wants to focus on the outside. But God wants to focus on the inside. Right. Amen. There is no different how a person looks when before they have the Holy Ghost and after they have the Holy Ghost. You should still be able to live your day-to-day life. Amen.
Amen.
So the attitude of the Exodus was they should have their mind girded up. So that's the first thing to think about. The rapture, big picture. Now that we have that out of the way. The second thing we must do, always be mindful of is having your mind girded up. It's not just about the rapture. It's also about your day-to-day life. You must be ready for God to speak to you. Yeah. Now, I was studying in the Bible, you know, there are great events in a Christian life, but there are also small events that make up the big event. How many knows that? Amen. It's like Jesus when he was born, you know, they were moving from place to place. I think I mentioned this before, that, you know, he had to live in Nazareth because there was a scripture which needed to be fulfilled that he would be a Nazarene. He was born in Bethlehem because there was a scripture which says that out of Bethlehem of Judah, amen, a prince shall be born. And he had to go to Egypt. He was fleeing Herod. He had to go to Egypt so that a scripture would be fulfilled which says, out of Egypt I have called my son. Now, in all those events, Joseph and his wife Mary had to be spiritual and to be attentive to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Right. Sometimes we worry about big things and we ignore the small things. But yet, it's the small things many times that make the difference. Yeah. So having this attitude, it's not just about the Passover. It's also about your day-to-day life. Understanding, what does God want me to do? Where is God taking me? I found that the hard way. Sometimes, you know, I try to go through I'll be trying to knock on a door. I keep knocking on this door. Only to find out that God does not want me to go through that door. Amen. Only to find out that God wants me to abandon this completely and do something completely different. Amen. It's always important to have your mind girded up. Amen. To be ready to accept. Because you know what? One time there was a prayer request that we had on the men's group chat, and things didn't go as we were expecting, as we were praying for. And Brother Barry says, no is an answer. Yeah. Because you know what? If God says everything to everything that we ask, I think we have many, many problems. Because when I was a kid, I used to have love candies. If my parents would say yes, I could probably by now have type 2 diabetes from eating candies, right? There are many things I am thankful that my parents said no. When I look back in hindsight, I say, I'm so glad God said no to this. I'm so glad that my parents said no to this. So all things work together for good. But our mind should always be ready to hear God when He calls us in a different direction. Sometimes, you know, it's two things, right? There are times when we don't need to give up. We should keep trying. But there are times where we don't have to keep trying. There are times where we have to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost to say, no, maybe I shouldn't go this path. Maybe God wants me to go somewhere different. There are times when we beat ourselves out trying to do something. Maybe that's not the will of God. It may not be something sinful, but that's not what God wants you to do at that specific time. Because we always look at things, you know, in black and white to say, well, this is not sinful. Therefore, God is okay me doing this. No, absolutely not. God is very, very specific. It may be something that is not unscriptural, but it may not be what God wants you to do at that specific time. Right. You see, as we go in the scripture, like for example, Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, he says, "There shall be no rain or dew unless I call for it." And God says, "Go to the brook Cherith." And guess what happens? Elijah stayed there for a couple of days. He was having a good time drinking from the brook. And, you know, the water from the brook is great, right? Because it's bubbling, it's flowing, it's rich, it's just wonderful. It's full of minerals, and it was peaceful. No doubt it's probably, you know, if we were to put it in a modern-day context, it was like a nice B&B up in the mountains, right? Where it's nice and cool, there's trees. There's just, you know, birds singing in the morning. Everything was great for Elijah. Until the day that the brook dried up. And remember, this was God telling him, go to the brook Cherith. But even though God has said, go to the brook, yet the brook dried up. And someone would say, how could God allow this to happen? If God spoke to me about going to the brook Cherith, then it shouldn't dry up. That's what we think in our minds. If God says this, then it should happen this way. No, God does not work like that. God can give you a word for one day. God can give you a word for 1 week. God can give you a word for 1 year, for 10 years. God, you have to have your mind girded up. Yeah. And when the brook dried up, you know what God, what Elijah said? He prayed to God, what do I do from here? Which is something that, you know, I've also learned the hard way. Sometimes when you face a problem, the first thing you must always do is, Lord, what would you want me to do? Amen. And usually that's the last thing that we do. Yeah. Yet it's the first thing that we must always ask God. Yeah. If you have done everything, you know, you have done everything according to the word, you have done your homework. If something wrong comes up, don't come up with assumptions like ChatGPT. It will give you 5 answers. And say, choose the one that you want. And you'd say, can I modify this? Can I add this? Sometimes we just have to wait and say, Lord, what would you want me to do? But you know what? We burn our brain cells thinking, oh, we start to assume, making assumptions. Oh, this is happening because of this. I think this is happening because of this. I think God is punishing me because of this. And we grind ourselves into many, many, you know, postulations and what-ifs. But yet, none of that is true. When the brook dried up, Elijah said, Lord, where do I go from here? And you know what God did? Before the brook dried up, God already had a plan for Elijah. And God says, from the brook Cherith, I want you to go to Zarephath. And into Zarephath, you shall find a widow. And that widow shall feed you. Amen. Second problem. How can a widow feed me? Me being a man of God. What would people think that I'm going to a widow's house who is poor? Maybe Zarephath is like a very, you know, lowly place, not very fancy. And God is saying, I've commanded a widow to feed you. If it was me, I would have probably reasoned. And sometimes when we read the Bible, we think that Elijah was seeing visions all the time. Some of these things, it was not visions.
Right.
Some of these things, it's a small still voice. Sometimes when the Bible says and God spoke, we always imagine ourselves God coming down and say, Elijah, go to Zarephath. Sometimes God does not do that. Matter of fact, many times God does not do that. God leads us in a very soft, humble way. So that you can doubt if you're an unbeliever. Sometimes it doesn't even make sense. God, why would you lead me to a widow? I'm the one who's supposed to be sustaining the widow. But guess what? God had a plan. The widow was supposed to sustain Elijah. And Elijah was supposed to sustain the widow. Amen. 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 I love how God works on both sides. Amen. God always makes the equation balance. Amen. Elijah was exactly what the widow was missing. Yeah. The widow was exactly what Elijah was missing. Amen. The ravens were great for a season. But there was a time where God wanted to feed his prophet through a widow. And sometimes we keep, you know, knocking on the door. Lord, why did the ravens stop? Lord, bring back the ravens. You know what? Guess what? Sometimes maybe God is saying, hey, you know what? Let go. I've got something better for you. And I've seen over and over, whenever God takes something, he always gives us something better. There's no way God takes you something. God never downgrades. If Apple always brings a better phone, do you think God will go down? No, sir. If technological companies are always upgrading, updating, software update, right? When you before you start your day, you want to go to your computer and it says software update. This will take 30 minutes. So God does the same way. But for you to understand these things, you have to have your mind girded up. Amen. Now, in Luke chapter 12, verse 34, the Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Now, Jesus was talking about his second coming. And he was saying that you must have your mind prepared for the coming of the Lord. And he says here, he says, where your treasure is, there your heart shall be. Now, David says, when riches increase, do not set your mind upon them. Now, having riches is not a sin. Having money is not a sin. It's a good thing, right? What is sin is when you set your mind upon that. Yeah. Not just money. Anything that you place your mind or your heart upon, that becomes sin before God. Having, you know, having a pickup truck is a great thing. Having a mansion is a great thing. Having a nice job is a great thing. We all want that. That's what we strive for. That's what we pray for people to have, right? But what becomes a problem is if that thing becomes all your mind. That's why sometimes, you know, we preach against games. Not that there's anything wrong about, you know, having recreation. But sometimes those things, they tend to take all your heart away. And that becomes a problem. So the game is not the problem. The problem is it becomes a spirit that takes your heart away. And when something takes your heart away, it becomes an idol. And you don't want to have that. Because the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart shall be. So it goes back to anything you can think about, right? And Paul says everything is allowed, but not everything is beneficial. So it's not about, okay, no, you know what, there's nothing sinful about this. I can do this. Just like, you know, anything, basketball, football. Those things, you have to be careful. Because if you're not careful, they then take all your heart away. You are sitting in church, you are thinking about your team. You go home, that's all you think about. You hardly have any time to read your Bible. You hardly have any time to pray. That thing becomes a stumbling block before the Lord for you. That thing becomes a snare to your soul. That's why God said to the kings in Israel, don't multiply horses. Don't multiply chariots. Because you know what? Your mind will start to go back to Egypt. Right. Amen. Amen. So it's about having the right kind of attitude. Think about your life. What takes up your day? What takes up your mind? If you come to a place where all you think about is one thing and it's not the Lord, then you need to reconfigure your life. You need to go back to default settings. And sometimes God has to take that out of our lives so that he can take back our attention. And we don't want that to happen. This is why we preach like this. We want you to have the right kind of attitude so that you don't wait for something to go back for you to come back to the Lord. Because it's always an attitude problem. Attitude is the greatest currency you can have in life. Amen. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 21, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, Jesus is talking about things that shall happen in the last days. And he's saying, you must look up. In other words, your attitude should be thinking about going out of this place. Now, we look at things that are happening in this earth. My subtitle was Jacob's Trouble, and we'll come back to that. Jacob's Trouble is a period of, you know, most scholars, including Brother Branham, he was not a scholar, he was a prophet. It talks about the time of the tribulation. That is called Jacob's Trouble. But that time of the tribulation was shown in the Bible in type. Because remember, Jacob was chosen by God. And Jacob was loved by God. But he had to go through troubles. One time, he was staying with Laban and everything was okay. Until the Bible says that the face of Laban was changed before Jacob. So Jacob had to get in trouble before he could go back to the promise. And whenever Jacob was in trouble, that's when God spoke to him. So God always redeemed Jacob out of trouble. And you find the same way when Israel was in Egypt. Everything was fine. They were doing well. Until the Bible says, they arose a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. And when this Pharaoh rose, then God had to redeem Israel out of Egypt. So these troubles, they come because God wants to do something. And the prophet, he talks about the Holocaust. And he says that was the tender hand of Jehovah. And somebody would ask, why would you say such something like that? What it tells you is that if God did not bring trouble upon Israel, they would have never come out of Europe. If God had not brought trouble upon the Jews, they would never have gone back to the promised land. They would not be praying and waiting for the Messiah to come. But trouble throws us in desperation. So our attitude should always to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because if we don't have that attitude, you know what God does? Then he stirs up trouble. Because trouble is a very good tool in the hands of God. And when trouble comes, guess what? Then we become desperate. Then we cry out for our own land. When trouble comes, then we cry out for the coming of the Lord. Like these days, you know, we are pretty relaxed. Everything is, for the most part, going on well. But now we are starting to see this spirit coming upon the earth. And this spirit is a pre-tribulation spirit. Now, the tribulation is not here. But the spirit is already here. How many knows that? Amen. Because the Bible says that he that letteth shall let until he be taken out of the way. So the spirit of the Antichrist, the demons, the 200,000 demons that were spoken of in the book of Revelation, they're here upon the earth. But they are ineffective until the time comes. So, but you start to see signs forming. Like somebody will be, you know, let's say, somebody's at a college, you know, they're giving a presentation about Christian, and then somebody shoots them. That tells you where we are going. Those things are going to increase more and more and more and more. Where you have people coming, people just walk in a church, they shoot people who are sitting in church worshiping. Those things are going to increase little by little, little by little. Because you know what? It's a spirit that has come upon the earth. And it's a spirit of persecution and tribulation. Now, signs may say it's mental health, it's gun violence, it's this. That's fine. That's politics. I've got nothing to do with the politics. I have to look at the Bible. These are spirits that have come upon the earth. And when we look at these things, let's just not get bottled down in the politics of it. Let's look at the bigger picture. You know what? The Lord is coming. We need to get out of this place. We must have our lamps trimmed and clear. We must have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You look at things that are happening in England, in Europe, where people don't want anyone who says anything contrary to what they think is right. And some of the things are just so ridiculous. Or some will say, you know what, we are protected by this amendment. You know what, this spirit that has come upon the earth, you cannot stop it by a constitutional amendment. The only thing to overcome this is you have to be raptured away.
Amen.
Out of this place. So Israel, you see also, for the first time in history, the left and the far right, they agree on one thing. They fundamentally disagree. But if you read the news, right, you see what you see on the news. But if you see behind the curtain, the spirits that are behind, there are two, they both fundamentally agree on condemnation for Israel. Now, when we talk about Israel, don't think about the politics of Israel. Look at the bigger picture.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Just like when we talk about the church, don't get lost in the weeds. About, oh, this one did this one, that. Look at the bigger picture.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that everything that Netanyahu is doing is great or everything. I don't necessarily agree with all the politics in Israel because they are not yet converted. But then you have to look at the bigger picture now. That all these events happening is to draw people to hate Israel. Because in the tribulation is the time of what? Of Jacob's trouble. So before you have a genocide, before you have a persecution, first you must have what is called a hatred. You know, in science they call it, you know, the stages of genocide, right? If you go to Rwanda, where they had genocide, they tell you about it. It starts with radicalism. And then you have got hatred. So this thing starts as a spirit, and then until it becomes physical. Until it comes to a spot where you want to hurt someone. So the spirits that hate what we believe are here upon the earth. The spirits that hate what we call Christianity, they are here upon the earth. Now, they may not be as strong, they may not have, you know, manifesting in such, this time may not be now where they actually have to come and kill you, but I want you to understand that the spirit is here upon the earth.
Amen.
It starts as discourse, right? Debating. Oh, this is wrong. Oh, this is hate speech. But it grows and it grows and it grows. Because remember, the Antichrist, he starts as a white horse. And then what happens? The Bible says, the prophet says, it started as a saying in Ephesus. And then from a saying, it became the deeds of the Nicolaitans. From the deeds of the Nicolaitans, it was crowned, it became a man. And that man was the Antichrist spirit, the Antichrist. Amen. So that's the same way it starts as a white horse. And then it becomes a what? A black horse. And then it's crowned, it's given a power, it becomes a red horse. In the last days, the Bible says that it shall be a pale horse. And being a pale horse, the Bible says, his name is called Death. And the Bible says that hell follows him. Now, this is the spirit that is come upon the last days. You know, back then, when somebody would backslide, they would miss church, they would go drinking. But now, because the rider is called Death, if somebody backslides, it's pretty, pretty bad. Because you know what? The spirit has become much, much, much more dangerous and much more powerful. Because the last horse rider is called Death. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I don't want you to get scared or to worry. We'll get positive in a minute, right? Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, the Bible says, alas, for that day is great, so that no one is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, why is all this trouble coming? It's because God is sending a message. You know, many times we are not sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, so God sends these troubles. Now, I'm not saying that every trouble you're going through is God speaking. But I'm saying sometimes God speaks through trouble. Now, the Jews, they're not realizing, you know what? God, the Messiah, is supposed to come. Elijah is supposed to come. But guess what? Before God sends a revival, what God wants, what he does is he puts his people in desperation. When his people are in desperation, then they pray. When they pray, that's when God visits his people. That is always the cycle of every revival and visitation. And sometimes we become so comfortable, we neglect to pray. We become so comfortable, we neglect to hear the voice of God. We became so comfortable, we don't read our Bibles. And God sometimes has to grab our attention. What does he do? He stirs up a little trouble. When he stirs a little trouble, then we become desperate. We say, save our souls, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Remember after COVID, how the church is filled out. But a few weeks after, people went back to their ways. It's always like that. After 9/11, churches were full. Oh, people who had not been in church in 20 years, they came back to church after 9/11. After a couple of weeks, the headlines change, people go back. I used to wonder why, if you read the book of Revelation in the tribulation, something would come. And the Bible says, but people repented not. And something would come and people repented not. I said, how is this possible? Then you realize it's like an anesthesia. People are numb for a season, and then after some time, it just disappears. Because you know what? The devil is very good at holding our conscience. You know how he does it? By entertainment. There is nothing that destroys your conscience as entertainment. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be entertained. You should. And I do get entertained, right? But many times, the prophet says the spirit of America is joking. Any world event happens, people actually make memes out of it. Yeah. And that pacifies people's conscience. You know, when Russia, you know, attacked Ukraine, everything was happening. People were just making jokes about it. Oh, I'm getting drafted for World War III, you know. That's how we pacify our conscience. And we are very good at that here in America, with comedy, with Hollywood. They pacify you until time passes. You don't think about what God is saying. You don't think about the bigger picture. Everything just becomes watered down. We look at the politics of it. We argue, we debate, and then we forget about it. But we should not have that mindset. Our mindset should be girded about knowing that Christ is coming. The Bible says, in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut into pieces. Jerusalem right now is a burdensome stone. These scriptures are being fulfilled in our eyes. The number one agenda at the United Nations right now is Israel. The resolutions, I think over 80% of the United Nations resolutions are on Israel. Now, when you see what is happening in Israel, don't just think and say, this is Israel, that has got nothing to do with us. Remember, Israel is the church natural. We are the church spiritual. So the spirits that affect Israel naturally, they also affect us spiritually. Amen. There is a spiritual United Nations also making resolutions against the bride. Amen. Don't you ever think the devil is just sitting, he lets us go by, worship, evangelize? No, sir. As the world is grouping together to condemn Israel, also in the spiritual sense, you will find that the World Council of Churches shall group together to condemn the bride. Now, did Israel make mistakes? Yes, it did. But you know what? Everything happens so that prophecy could be fulfilled. Like, for example, right now somebody can rise up and say, you know what? We have people who have been making cults out of William Branham's messages, so we must ban them. Now, I ask you, don't we have people who have made cults out of the Bible? We do have them. Don't we have people who have made cults out of the message? We have them. But it doesn't mean everyone is a what? It's a cult. But then that becomes an excuse to condemn everything so that scripture can be fulfilled. We are just one headline away from freedom. Something just comes up and all of a sudden we respond in a certain way and boom, everyone condemns Israel. The same thing will happen to the bride. Because that's how these things happen.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. So think about that for a moment. Now, you say, well, Israel is overrated. I'm not here trying to be a Zionist or, you know, defending Israel. Like I said, forget about the politics. I want you to get the word and the bigger picture.
Yeah.
I don't worry about Israel at all. I believe that God takes care of his people.
Right.
God doesn't need my help to defend Israel. No, sir. He who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. He does not need activists. He does not need a lobbying. God takes care of Israel. I don't need even to worry about Israel. All I have to do is to worry about my soul, to worry about the work that I need to do for the Lord. I don't get carried away with everything, little thing that happens in Israel. No, sir. God watches over Israel. And I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But I'm not carried away by the day-to-day happenings there. Because I know my position as a member of the bride.
Amen.
Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9. The Bible says, "It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem." Now, of course, this will happen in the tribulation. Because in the tribulation, remember, the tribulation is the sixth seal. And the sixth seal is a judgment seal. So God comes to judge the earth. But in judging the earth, he redeems three groups. He redeems Israel, the 144,000. He redeems the foolish virgins, the ones that did not have oil. And number three, he cleanses, he redeems the earth so that we could stay upon this earth. So the sixth seal is a judgment seal. But the events that lead to the sixth seal, they are here upon the earth. The direction that the politics are taking is the judgment direction. The direction that Israel and the nations are taking is a judgment direction. The direction that the nations are taking, every nation becoming a rainbow nation, everything has to become Sodom and Gomorrah so that God can bring judgment upon the earth. Because God can never do anything until the cup of the Amorites is full. So the cup has to be full, and someone has to fill that cup of iniquity.
Right.
Because remember, these things, they happen at the same time. God's people having trouble, at the same time, God redeeming his people. So when God redeems his people, he then judges the people that are stirring trouble upon his people. Because remember, the Exodus had two goals. Number one, God was judging Pharaoh and his armies. How many knows that? Number two, God was redeeming Israel out of Egypt. So don't just look at one side. It's two things, right? So God comes to gather the wheat, but he also comes to burn the chaff. So when you see things happening, think about which side are you on? Are you filling up the cup of the Amorites, or you are filling up the cup of the prayers of the saints? Amen. So these are the two spirits that have come upon the earth. But guess what? The spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah overclouds the events that are happening in the bride. Because the Bible says that as it was in the days of Lot. Now God went to visit Abraham. But remember, but God never said it was the days of Abraham. It says in the days of Lot. So the false vine has more publicity and more happenings. But in secret and in silence, God is also dealing with the bride. But that will never be a public show because the scripture says in the days of Lot, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But it never said in the days of Abraham. But yet Abraham was the main event. So the main event in terms of Christianity is what is happening in the bride. But it's so humble, it will never get publicity. What gets publicity is what is happening in the circles of Lot. What's happening in the circles of Sodom. But don't let your mind get carried away with that. See what God is doing in the bride.
Amen.
Now, don't you ever think that the revival of the bride is going to be a group affair where we're all going to be in a room and the Holy Ghost comes and everyone falls down? Now, we do have those moments, but the revival of the bride, it's a secret personal affair. It's a very secret personal affair. You walking with God daily, communing with the Holy Ghost. But the Bible says that all nations shall hate Israel, and they shall be destroyed by God. So that spirit is here upon the earth. For the first time, we have almost unanimous consensus, every country condemning Israel. Now, we have countries like Syria that have performed worse atrocities. I mean, killing people with gas, you know, in gas chambers. But the world never united to condemn Syria. The world is not united to condemn Russia. The world is not united, but the only country where people unite is to condemn Israel. In the time of Jesus, there was the Sanhedrin Council. There were divisions among them. There were Pharisees. There were Sadducees. There were, you know, the scribes. There were the lawyers. Many different groups. There were zealots and many different interpretations. But for the first time, they agreed to condemn Jesus Christ to be crucified. So in the last days, as we are approaching the rapture, the different denominations shall agree under the World Council of Churches to condemn our way of worship, because the scriptures has to be fulfilled. Right. And the prophet says, during the time of this last wars, they've got to be hated by everybody, both on the left and both on the right. And Eichmann killed millions of them in Germany. You just heard the trial. Millions of innocent people were slain, Jews, just because they were Jews. No other reason. That was the spirit that came upon Hitler, Eichmann, Stalin, to kill the Jews. And they started to hate them. And it died down for a season. Now the spirit is now back upon the earth again. And we, as the end time message believers, we must never miss those things. We must be able to recognize spirits when they rise up. And the prophet says, now, see, the fifth seal, Matthew chapter 24, verse 9 and 13. Let's see if I got this right now again. See, and then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. There you are, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Do you know that everyone who, for example, who goes out and kills people, whether it's a mass shooting, they always have a manifesto. Many times. Now, why is that so? Is because a manifesto, it's like it's a belief system. And a belief is a spirit. So in other words, there's a spirit behind the act. Yes. Amen. So whatever is causing this, it's a what? It's a spirit. So it's a resolution, it's a manifesto. But so whenever you have these things happening, you know that they are being pushed by a spirit. And I want you to understand that no matter how educated we are, we must never forget that we fight not with flesh and blood. Right. We fight with spirits, right, with principalities, with the rulers, with powers of this dark world. Amen. The prophet had a problem with the tax case. I think I told you about it. And when he saw the spirit in a vision, he says it was like an iron man. So it was not just a case. There was a spirit behind that. The prophet had a stomach trouble. And when he saw it in a vision, it was like a squirrel. And many times when he was, you know, doing discernment, he would look at cancer and he would see a dark shadow upon someone. Because these things are what? They are spirits. One time there were people who were believing, oh, Brother Branham is the Messiah. And that was a wrong spirit. And he saw it in a vision. What was it? It was a snake. And he shot it, but it didn't die. It went in the water. So if he didn't die, that spirit is still alive today. So a wrong doctrine, a wrong teaching, a wrong belief is a spirit. Because the word is a spirit. And Jesus Christ said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are truth. And this is why we must have the Holy Ghost. Because we are not fighting flesh and blood. Stalin, they called it fascism. They called it, you know, Nazism. But you know what? It was a spirit. Behind Nazism, there was a spirit. Behind fascism, there was a spirit. This is why we tell people, especially in these last days, stay away from politics. Because they are very strong spirits that have come upon the earth that are hidden behind those political systems. I don't care whether it's left or it's right. Stay away from it.
Amen.
Stay with the Bible.
Amen.
Because those things are spirits. And you don't know where a spirit will lead you. Amen. Now, the prophet says, now you can see the king of the north is coming down, which is nothing else but Russia, coming down to press against it like a whirlwind. And the great battle of Armageddon will be fought right there near the gates of Jerusalem. Now, the Second World War, it had a lot to do with Israel for some reason. Imagine. The Third World War, again, will be fought significantly in Israel. The world events, they are centered around Israel because Israel is God's timepiece. Amen. So Jerusalem is God's timepiece. So all these events, they are leading to what? To Armageddon. All these nations, all these fightings, everything is going to lead to the world war, which shall be fought at the gates of Jerusalem, according to the Bible and what the prophet says. And the prophet says here, and Michael shall stand up, the great prince which stood for the children of the people, and there shall be trouble. Remember, we're talking about Jacob's trouble. Such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And the verse that he is quoting, it says, and everyone whose name is in the book of life shall be delivered. That's in the book of Daniel. Now, I want you to notice one thing. It is going to be Michael who shall deliver the elect in Israel in the last days. And in this age that we're living in, we have received a prophet. But this prophet, there was an angel that came to him. And that angel was instructing him on a day-to-day basis. And there was a pillar of fire speaking to him. In other words, you are seeing again that in the last days, we are coming to that final battle that started in heaven. Now, as we are in a battle, young people, it's not just games. It's not just coming to church and hearing a good sermon. You know, I hope I can teach this plainly. We are in a serious battle. Because we are in a serious battle, we must get up our minds. We must get up our thoughts. Let's not be naive. Let's not be like, as the prophet would say, dumb-driven cattle. Just thinking about eating and drinking. Let's look at the bigger picture. The doors are closing. The shadows are becoming longer and longer. Because you know what? The sun is setting. The sun is setting upon Israel. The sun is setting upon the bride.
Amen.
Amen. And the prophet says, the trumpet sounded, that the trumpet did not either war or feast. And he says it is the gathering of the people is the trumpets. And he says, but every trumpet sounded under the sixth seal, the persecution of the Jews. In other words, every major wars were associated with the Jews. Because when God is dealing with the Jews, that brings a trumpet, which is a war. In the Second World War, God was bringing the Jews. It also brought a war. The Third World War, the same thing happens. You say, okay, Brother Aaron, what does this have to do with us? This doesn't have much to do with us. But we must understand that these things will largely affect the church that is out in the world. But now, we are not exempted just because we are sitting in the pew tonight. We are only exempted if we actually accept the message and are baptized by the Holy Ghost. Because what makes you a wise virgin is the oil. It's not the name of the church you are attending. It's not the pew you are sitting on. It's the oil that you have in your vessel. If you are in this church and you don't have the oil, then you want God to give you the oil. Because the pardon is not given by groups. It's by individuals who have the oil of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you say, Brother Aaron, then Is this supposed to scare us? No, sir. It's supposed to make you desperate. Amen. And when you are desperate, then God gives you the token. Amen. When you are desperate, Amen. Then your attitude changes. Yeah. Because you know what? This is why sometimes the preaching of the gospel has to bring conviction. Because conviction makes you desperate. Then you call out upon the name of the Lord. But now we have a version of the gospel where everything is all about positive reinforcement. You are great. You are doing awesome. You are an overcomer. You are loved. God loves you. God loves you. That is not the gospel. Show me in the Bible where Jesus Christ went on a tirade and said, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. No, sir. He just preached the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, we do have scriptures that, you know, are personal to us, but that has to come by revelation. It becomes just a commercial, you know, expedition where people just say, God loves you, God loves you. Now just drop your seed in the hat. It becomes a gimmick.
Yeah.
We want people to be desperate. We want people to be sober because we are living in a dangerous hour. We can't just pacify ourselves and say everything is okay, everything is okay. Everything is okay if we stay with the word.
Amen.
Everything is okay if we have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you must be desperate. That's what I'm trying to achieve. You must be desperate and say, I want to receive the Holy Ghost. I don't want this life anymore. You can never. This is how you overcome stubborn spirits. That's how you overcome addictions. Something has to break inside of you. But if somebody tells you everything is okay, that thing will never break. But when something happens and something breaks inside of you, then you say, you know what, I'm done with this. I don't want anything to do with gambling. I don't want anything to do with uncensored programs. Because something has rang a bell inside of you. Now, if God could use trouble like this to bring Israel, wasn't he wonderful to us to give us a prophet who would, you know, show us this is the way to go? And people will say, oh, Brother Branham was so hard. But guess what? It's better than being in the tribulation. The Bible says, I'll close in 5 minutes. Maybe the musicians can make their way. When the hour of the time of the promise drew nigh, there rose up a Pharaoh that did not know Jacob. Now, we spoke about this. I'm just going to skip things here and then come to this quotation. One of my favorite quotations. So, Brother Bram says, so I was talking to a brother here today, Brother Sharit, a precious friend of all of us that we all know, John Sharit, a prince of a man. I love that phrase. A prince of a man. How many want to be a prince of a man? He was rich, but he was a prince of a man. He was a good man. And he said, Brother Branham, I often heard you say you are coming to the West someday to live. Brother Branham knew in his heart that God called him to go West. But he was always hesitant to go West. And now he says, and I said, yes, the last tie that bind me to the East is gone now, my mother. So the prophet did not want to leave the East because he was very comfortable in the East. His whole family was in the East. You know, but you know what? God took all of them. He took his mother. He took his mother's wife, his wife's mother. He took a bunch of people. And here he says, the last thing that was holding me to the East is gone. So in other words, sometimes God stays us trouble to bring us into his will.
Amen.
Because he had to go West. Because the prophet, remember, he was told, you will never be successful in the East. Now, that is not to say we should all pack our bags. No, sir. We all know that the West is here at HBT. I don't want you to be like, brother, what are you saying? Should we? No, sir. What I'm saying is that we should be sensitive to where God wants us to go.
Yeah.
It may not necessarily be the West, like going to Arizona. No, it may just be like maybe not going to this trip this morning, but go a different trip. It's not always relocating. Sometimes it's just day-to-day decisions that we make. And sometimes when God sees that we are so tied down by certain things or certain people, he takes them. So here he says, God took away my mother. I can no longer be bound in the East. So God does not want you to be bound by anything. He wants you to be loose. He doesn't want you to be bound by television, by Netflix, by games, by sports. You must be loose to the Holy Spirit to lead you. Whenever God is a jealous God, whenever he feels like there is something that is holding you, he will usually, many times he will take that thing away if you are a son of God. Now, we don't want him to do that. We want our minds to be girded up so that when there's little trouble that comes, we say, Lord, what would you want me to do? Nothing should hold you, whether it's your family. God comes first. After God, then your family comes. After family, then you come last. But you must be loose to the Holy Ghost to hear his leadership. Lord, what do you want me to do this year? What do you want me to do with my money? What do you want me to do with my time? What do you want me to do with my resources? What do you want me to do with my relationships, my friendships? God wants to lead you every day. And when he leads you, your life becomes much and much more easy. Sometimes we have a lot of depressions and anxiety and heartaches. Come to find out many times, you know, when I, you know, talk to people or counsel them, sometimes it's just inability to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Remember the prophet, after he preached the seals, he always had a burden upon him. And when he preached the seals, that burden left him. That's why the Bible says the burden of the Lord. So we each of us carry a burden of the will of God. And that burden can only leave once we fulfill God's will. You say, well, you know what? I don't want to worship God. I want to do whatever I want. Even if you're an unbeliever, you will still have a burden. Because you know what? Everything has to fulfill scripture. Hitler had a burden he had to fulfill in the grand scheme of things. Judas had a burden that he had to fulfill. So whether you are here or you are there, you have a burden to fulfill. Because the scriptures cannot be broken. Let's stand up on our feet. Lead me, Lord, and I'll follow.
I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called.
Bible says, my son, seek after wisdom. Bind her, call her my sister. It says, in all thy getting, get wisdom. Wisdom is the principle. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are lambs, we are sheep. Our design was never to lead ourselves. The way we were made, we were never meant to make decisions in our own selves. You made us, Lord, to be led. And Father, you say that man, when he's lost, he's as lost as he can be. Because because a man was never made to lead himself. Even science tells us that a man is a danger to his own self. A man, if left alone, would destroy himself. Lord, we have made nuclear bombs. We have made all kinds of things. We have hybridized food. We have made things to destroy our own selves. Because without you, Father, we are even dangerous to our own selves. That's why we need you every hour, Lord. We need you every day. Without you, Father, we can destroy ourselves, Father. We can destroy ourselves with drugs. We can destroy our minds with things that we see. We are self-destructive, Lord. Oh God, help us, Father, to seek your will, Father, to find the small still voice, to be led by you every step of the journey. When our brook dry up, Father, to know, Father, to which way to turn to, which way to go. We don't want to be helpless. We don't want to be running around like the people of this world, not knowing what to do, where to go. Lord Jesus, you said, oh God, that because you live, we shall live also. Father, you said, I will send you the Comforter, and he shall lead you. He shall teach you. He shall lead you to all truth. Father, you knew, Lord, we would come and live in an age where we need comfort, where we need someone to talk to, where we need somebody. Father, world can come up with many things, Lord, like therapies, but we know that the Holy Ghost, you are our therapist. You are our number one line of defense. You are our doctor. You are our physician. You are our friend. You are our psychologist. You are everything that we need. We are thankful, Father, for all these things that you have given us. But we want you to be number one in our life. Lord, when we have questions, you give us the answer. When we are, Father, in need, you are able to provide for us. We are asking, Father, that you may you be our friend as Abraham of old. Where you would come to him and tell him secrets. And Father, you said, shall I hide this from Abraham, knowing that he shall be the heir of the earth of the whole world. Help us, Lord Jesus. We don't know, Father. We have never walked this way before. The children of Israel, they were following the pillar of fire because they did not know where the promise was. They were following you day by day. We don't know, Father, how to navigate in this dangerous world. We don't know, Father, what to do with our teenagers. We don't know what to do with all this technology. We are relying upon you, Holy Spirit, to lead us daily. Be with us tonight, Father. Oh God, remember, Father, help our pastor, Lord, this hour. Help him, oh God, and his wife. And Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Father, that you give them strength as they are resting. May they rest like Elijah of old by the brook Cherith. May you renew their strength. For you say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Teach us to wait upon you, Lord. We thank you, Father, as we commit each and every one of your children into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I forgot to mention, remember Brother Barry Coffee? I spoke to him and Sister Becky. He's on a school break, so they went out to get some rest. And as the prophet would say, ministers have to rest. Amen. God bless you. Brother Jason.
Lead me, Lord. I will go. my God still moves in the heart of his people. God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does he
sing that little chorus. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. As we go, I think it's key of that.
So glad.